Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Ma'ikat and daf Tezvav. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf of Bizn Learn, Lizech Nishman, Flo, Lupin Zaltzman. We're a little bit beyond our daf Yudal Amid Beis and the third paragraph of Ma'ikat, and we turn to the halachas of Avelos. The reason why it comes up is because the Mishnah mentions that Elam Gachim the Moed, these are the people that can get a haircut on Chol Moed. And El Mechapsim Bamoed, and these are the people that can do laundry in Chol Moed. And the Gemara is going to point out that there are a number of similarities not only are true by Chol Moed, but are also going to be true by Avelos as well. The Gemara on the very bottom of Yudal Amud Aleph, we saw this yesterday. We'll look at the third to last line. Kol Elu She'amru Mutal Agalech Bamoed, Mutal Agalech B'mei Evlo. Anyone who said that can get a haircut on Chol Moed, meaning falling under the dispensation of getting a haircut in Chol Moed, can also get a haircut during Avelos as well. So so that really was a springboard. That line of Gemara is a springboard in which we're going to jump off and discuss the halachas of Avelos. So a good portion of the third perek deals with the halachas of Avelos, as we mentioned yesterday. And so let's continue. We are in the Gemara on Yudal Amud Beis. Okay. Right. Amr Rav Ashi. Where is it? It's a
couple
inches. Okay. The renunciants of the Nohag Bakamba, Tanya. Right. Amr Rav Ashi. Okay. Let's back up. Okay. Because really it's in the middle of a discussion. Okay. Let's go back to the bottom of the previous Amud. Okay. Question on the table is as follows: Can a baby who just got born, can he get a haircut on Chol Moed? And interestingly enough, and oddly enough, the answer is yes. So Amar Shmuel. Okay, we're back on the previous Amud on Yudal Amud Aleph, and we're in the bottom. Amar Shmuel Kan. We did this yesterday. I just want to start from the beginning of a discussion. Amar Shmuel Kan Anola Ben Moed Mutal Galech Ben Moed Sheilach Beis Asrim Gadol Mizeh. So you're born, the baby's born on Chol Moed, so he can get a haircut because he was in jail. Mm-hmm. Right? Being in the mother's womb is considered like being in the Beis Asurim. It's like being in jail and released from prison, and therefore you'll have to get a haircut. So So that means the indication would be that only if he's born on Chol Moed, if he's born before Chol Moed, then no. So Meisav Pinchas, Kol Eilu She'amru Mutal Galech B'Moed, Mutal Galech B'Mei Avlo. So the Gemara says, right, I know I just quoted this, but what about the comparison between Chol Moed and Avelos? So Ha Asla Galech B'Moed, Asla Galech B'Mei Avlo. Now, the parallel statement would indicate that if anything which is mutla galech and chol moed is mutla galech during his avelos, anything which is forbidden to get a haircut on chol moed is forbidden to get an avelos during avelos. Get a haircut during avelos. The iamar katan is be plovta nim says avelos no heges be katan. Now, what do you want to tell me that by a katan there's a distinction between being born on chol moed versus being born before chol moed? The Gemara says, but that's. That would lead us to a bizarre conclusion, a untenable conclusion, which is that a katan has avelos, and that's simply not true. We'll tear the clothing of a katan. I mean, God forbid, a katan loses one of his relatives. So you'll tear the clothing of the katan, not because he's chayv and avelos, he's not chayv and avelos. Agmas nefesh. People will see and people's hearts will be broken and it'll elicit a response of compassion and rachmanis. But there's no obligation of avilos on the child himself. So you see that there's no avilos for a child. So Amar Rav Ashi Mikitani Ha Asurin. So the Gemara says, okay, of course that's correct. There is no avilos for a child. The statement where you assume the implied parallel statement is not necessarily so. This is what Rav Ashi says. Amar Rav Ashi Mikitani Ha Asurin Dilma Yesh Mehem Asur V'Yesh Mehem Mutar. So no could just simply mean that some of it is prohibited, some of it is permitted. But it doesn't necessarily mean that whatever's true by a katan for Chol Moed is going to be true by a katan by avilos. That's just simply, the parallel statement is simply not a totally assumed statement. A slightly different version of how this was taught. Amar Shmuel katan mutal galcha b'moed. A child can get a haircut on Chol Moed. Lo shana nola b'moed, lo shana nola mikar. And it doesn't matter whether he's born on Chol Moed or whether he's born before Chol Moed. Amar Pinchas af anami tanina. And now we have a brisa to prove it. Anyone can get a haircut during Chol HaMoed. Is allowed to get a haircut during Avilos. Ha asur legalach b'mod, asur legalach b'mei evlo. And that, again, the implied other statement is if you can't get a haircut in Chol HaMoed, you can't get a haircut during Avilos. Yeah, markat nasur nim says Avilos nagas b'katan. Now, if you want to tell me that a child is forbidden from getting a haircut during Avelos, well, that leads to the conclusion that a child is bound by Hilchos Avelos. But that's not true, Vitanya. Nefesh is just simply not true. Again, the child will do Kriya, but not because of Agmas Nefesh, not because of it's not because he's an Avel, because we want the elicited response from everyone else. Again, I'm Ravashi Mikatani Haasur and Doma Yeshma Masav Yeshma Mutter. Again, the Gemara says not necessarily so. It doesn't mean that there's exact relationship between if he can't get a haircut during Chol HaMoed, he can't get a haircut during Avelos, and if he can get a haircut during Chol HaMoed, he can't get a haircut during Avelos. It could very well be that some of it's Asur and some of it's Mutter, and again, it's not necessarily a proof that a child can get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. So again, Gemara, we just wrap up the Gemara's conclusion, and that is it possible to get a haircut, for a child to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed? So the Gemara quotes a number of Amoraim. According to one version, if you're born on Chol HaMoed, and according to another version, even if you're born before Chol HaMoed. Okay, unresolved from the Gemara whether or not a child can get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. All right, and here we go. Starting at this point in time now, we're in Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We're almost in the middle of the Amud, and the discussion now that will take us through the rest of today's daf and beyond is going to be the halachas of Avelos. Again, it came up because the Gemara said that anything which is prohibited during Chol HaMoed is prohibited during Avelos as well. Actually, again, the statement is actually the other way around. Anything which is permitted, anyone who's permitted to get a haircut during Chol HaMoed is permitted to get a haircut during Avelos. And now this will generate a discussion in the Gemara about the halachas of Avelos. There's going to be a lot of halachas discussed over the course of today. As always, we say we're just getting acclimated with the issues. This is not for the purposes of a halachic conclusion. I'll point out a number of machloksim that take place amongst the Rishonim. And again, you speak to your Rav. Lo aleinu. Avaleinu noeg Avelos beragel. Okay, so number one, an aval is not practiced as avilos during Yantav. Shenemar v'samachta b'chagecha, because the Pesuk says v'samachta b'chagecha. Now, the Gemara goes and clarifies. Yeh avilos demikara, havi'asi yaseh derabim v'dach yaseh diyachet. So, first of all, if the avilos starts before Yantav, so then the eseh derabim, the positive commandment that applies to the public, otherwise known as Yantav, will be doche, your eseh diyachet, will push away your personal essay. Okay, so good. So the Gemara starts the discussion off by saying that we can't. Meaning, even the suggestion that we're talking about a person becoming an avil before Yantiv. I mean, again, we all know this, but the Gemara over here is teaching us that the Yantiv is going to push off your avilos. So that can't even be the discussion. The e avilos to hashta who lo asi diachiv v'dachi asi derabim. And if we're talking about Avelos Tahashta, and if he becomes an Avel on Yantav, meaning over the course of Yantav, remember, Yantav could go for a week, meaning we could be talking about Sukkot, we could talk about Pesach, so then is it plausible to suggest that the personal obligation is going to override the public obligation of Yantav? In other words, basically, the Gemara says no. Your avelos is not going to in any way override Yantav. Okay, good. That the Gemara makes clear. A couple of things which are not clear from the Gemara, and that is the following. Big question, right? Major debate. This idea of avelos. Are we talking about a mitzvah d'rabbanan or are we talking about a mitzvah d'oraisa? Meaning avelos in of itself. What category is it at? Well, it's interesting because the Gemara just asked the question, well, if I have avelos and I have against it Yantav, well, what's going to beat what? If avelos was derabanan, so then the Gemara's answer should have been something much more to the tune of avelos is derabanan and Yantav is daraisa. And did you notice that the Gemara didn't say that? No. The Gemara said, Well, Yontif is Esse de Rabim, it's a public positive commandment, and Avelus is a personal positive commandment. Makes it sound like the two are at least on levels or on the same level. It's just one's for the public and one's for a private. And public beats private. Right? That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. Take a look at the top Tosfos over here. Tosfos makes this observation. It sounds like from the Gemara that Avelus is a din to Araisa. I'm reading too fast. Good. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara, that the mitzvah of Avelus operates on the Araisa level. Okay, again, as I pointed out, it's a major debate and discussion amongst the Rishonim. What level Avelus operates under? But just from the flow of our Gemara, Tosfos makes the observation, sounds like it's the Araisa. The Haida Kamar La'el going on in Tosfos, Lomi Bayime Evla Derabanan Hainu Asiyas Malacha. Now, yes, it's true, the Gemara earlier said that Avelus is a Din Derabanan, but that could just simply be various facets of Avelus. For example, Isra Malacha. You're not allowed to do Malacha during Avelus. Could be that Avelus fundamentally is a Din Araisa, but various halachas of Avelus are Derabanan. What the Gemara meant earlier is that not working during your 7 days of Avelus, that's a din derabanan. That's what the Gemara could have meant. The nafklam be masmachlam be vaafachte chagech ma'evol aval guf ha'avelus da'araisa miyu. I'm sorry, guf ha'avelus da'araisa. Meaning fundamentally, Avelus is da'araisa. That's what one could argue. Miyu nirali d'stamachte ha'regol na'mi derabanan v'simchas ha'inu v'sham v'simcha k'disa v'chagiga. And Tosfos points out, not necessarily so. Meaning what you could say is that the Samachta, the Simchas HaRegel, is also a Din Derabanan. Meaning when the Gemara over here is comparing Avelus to Simchas HaRegel, it could be talking about Simchas HaRegel nowadays. Simchas HaRegel nowadays. Are we enjoying Yontif on the Araisa level? So one could make the argument, no. We don't have Karban. We don't have the Shalmei Simcha. So we're not being misamech on Yontif, meaning Yontif obviously is Daraisa. We're talking about Simchas HaYontif. It could be that Simchas HaYontif nowadays is not a Daraisa, it's a Darabanan, and that's why the Gemara is making a comparison between Avelus and Simchas HaYontif. And it could be that both of them are Darabanan. So already in this Tosfos, right, and I'd say we don't need a lot of sources right now, just in this Tosfos you already see the fundamental question of, is Avelus a Din Daraisa, or is it a Din Derabanan? The Rambam's position is that the first day of Avelus is a Din Daraisa, all subsequent days of Avelus is a Din Derabanan. I'll quote the Rambam a couple more times over the course of today, tomorrow. Okay, we'll speak it out a little bit more. But again, it just is such a basic question on what level Avelus operates under. Back to our Gemara. Minuda, Maoshi Nag Nidui Beregel. Before I go on in the Gemara, another really basic issue. The Gemara's conclusion is that Simchas Yontif is going to override Avelus. That's the Gemara's conclusion. Does that mean, right, God forbid, so a person's a novel over Yontif? We're not talking about where the Avelus started before Yontif, because then we know Yontif cuts the Avelus short. We'll talk more about that later in this parak. Let's say he becomes an avel during Yontif. Right? God forbid, he loses a relative during Yontif. Okay, and the burial is done on Chol HaMoed. Okay. The Gemara's conclusion over here is Simchas Yontif, meaning Avelus will not start till after Yontif. From the time that after the burial until when Yontif comes to an end, and you know, Chol HaMoed is over and Yontif is over, and from going from burial until when he actually is going to observe Avelus, which is after Yontif, is he like not an avel at all, or is he not publicly an avel, but privately he will conduct himself like an avel? That's another major debate amongst the Rishonim. It's machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam's position is that during Yontif he's not an avel at all, meaning the Simchas Yontif is totally going to override his avelus, and according to the Rambam, emotionally you have to really keep your emotions in check. But the Rambam says that, right? The Rambam, as you can well imagine, right? The total control of your emotion, right? In other words, during Yontif, you are just simply not an Aval at all. No Nihugi Avelus, neither publicly nor privately. And it's only after Yontif that you start demonstrating, displaying, and observing Avelus. That's the Rambam's position. The Ramban says no, that from burial until till Avelos, you're not counting your days of Avelos, but privately you're observing Avelos. But any public acts you're not observing. Okay, major debate again, just speaking out some of the larger issues. Okay, back to the Gemara. Now, just in terms of the Gemara structurally, you're going to get used to this because this is going to we're going to see this for the rest of today, and that is the following: that really we are going to be speaking concurrently about three different people. We're going to be speaking about an Avel. We're going to speak about someone who is excommunicated, Nidui, and we're going to speak about someone who's a Mitzora. And we're going to speak about these three people on every one of these halachas. Meaning, the Gemara basically imposed upon itself a structure where Avel, Nidui, and Mitzora. And every one of these halachas, we're going to go through all three of these people again and again and again. What are the common denominator between these three people? Basically, down in the dumps. All three of these people. An Avel, just lost a relative. A Nidui, excommunicated. All right, did something which was an offense to a person, a community. Ignored Beis Din, ignored a court order. Sent into excommunication. We'll talk more details about that. And a Mitzora, right? Also kind of banned from a Kadosh Baruch Hu for his behavior. Given Saras, Chutz Hamachaneh. So all these three people are basically outcasts, if you will, to a certain degree, one way or another. And so every halacha that we're going to speak about, the Gemara is going to repeatedly say, what's the story with Menuda? What's the story with a Mitzora? In addition to, what's the story with an Avel? So now we're up to Menuda. Someone who's excommunicated. Mashi Negni Dui Beregel. So again, question is, he's excommunicated, now Yontov comes along. What's it going to be? Amar Rav Yosef, Tashma, Dan and Dinan Fash, Vidinim Malkus, Vidinim Mamonos. Okay, the courts are open during Chol HaMoed. That's a Tosefta. Second parak of Moed Katan. Courts are open and they're going to judge all cases. Capital cases, corporal punishment, and monetary law as well. Now, if court's open, so that means that not only is court open, but all the judicial process is in force. And that means then that, right, in other words, the court's got to operate. And part of the way that the court operates is they subpoena. If someone doesn't listen to, if someone ignores the subpoena, so they're sent immediately into Cherem. So, Anan. So the Gemara over here constructs a very simple logical argument. If someone who is previously banned, if his ban is lifted before Yontiv, so how in the world could a ban take place on Yontiv itself? That's the argument of the Gemara, and therefore it must be that that's not true. Meaning, it must be that the beginning of that argument can't possibly be that a ban is not lifted on Yontiv, and therefore a court can place a ban on Yontiv itself. So Amalei Abai V'Domalei Yuna B'Dina. So Abai says, well, maybe we could make the following argument. The court does convene in Chol HaMoed, not to issue any type of judgment, but just for the purpose of discussion and deliberation. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, because can you imagine, one of the things that the Tosefta taught us is that a court convene in Chol HaMoed for capital punishment. Capital crime, capital punishment. Now, the Hakaminim is Simchas Yontov. What's the problem with that? The problem is that the court that's involved in a capital punishment, so they're not going to be able to enjoy Simchas Yontov. It'll be a little bit difficult to be happy as you are extinguishing the life of somebody. Now, mind you, by the way, let's be clinical about this. The person deserved it. He was found guilty of a capital crime. There was due process. He was guilty of it. So, but nevertheless, the Gemara says that these judges who are involved are not going to be able to enjoy Simchas Yontov. And this is where the Gemara gets really clinical. Why? Why can't these judges be involved in Simchas Yontov? So again, so the emotional side of me would say, and there's not much of an emotional side to me, but the emotional side to me would say, well, they just killed somebody's life. And in other words, they had to take a life away. And that's why they can't be involved in Simchas Yontov. The Gemara is not going to make that argument. The Gemara is going to argue, you know why they can't be involved in Simchas Yontov? Because they won't be able to eat that day. Okay? The Tanya, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Minayin L'Sanhedrin Shehargos HaNefesh, She'ein To'amim Ko'oso Hayom. You know that when a court is involved in a capital case, they can't eat that day. Tamalama Lo Soch Lo Adam. The Gemara quotes a Pasuk. You can't eat over blood. Meaning it is let's just call it an issue in the Torah that when you're involved in capital punishment, so you can't eat. So which by the way, Hedy literally read my mind, which by the way made it interesting that Yosef's brother, immediately after they threw him in the pit, so what did they do? They went and they ate, right? Which correct, meaning that was that's interesting and okay, so that deserves a discussion. It deserves our attention, but it's certainly interesting. Okay. So therefore, Abai is now constructing an argument. They're not actually going to judge. They're going to discuss and deliberate. Amalim Kenin says manas dino. The Gemara says no. Who's speaking to Abaye? Right, I'm assuming Rava. I don't know. Okay, Amalim Kenin Tanim says manas dino. No, that can't possibly be. What you're gonna just discuss and deliberate a capital crime, capital punishment? We're gonna see this in Sanhedrin again and again. Inu hadin, meaning once somebody goes into court and you are adjudicating, you got to adjudicate and finish the process. Right here in America, this is not me criticizing. I'm not in a position to criticize. I don't know enough. But you know, you see people on death row for months, years, etc. And right, talk about inui hadin. Talk about postponing and delaying and really causing the kind of emotional anguish where the Torah says you're not allowed to do that. Torah says that once you start the adjudication, you got to go through with the process. You don't just sit there and deliberate. So also mitzvah from Ma'ane B'dinah v'ayel v'achle v'shasu kol yom v'had asu b'shkias hachama v'gamrin l'dinah v'kadulay. So the Gemara says, so here's how you'll do it. Meaning, the Gemara is arguing that there is no discussion deliberation. You adjudicate. You take the case. You deliberate, but not for the purpose of just discussing. You deliberate for the purpose of actually coming to a conclusion. So the Gemara says, here's what you'll do. An chol ha-moed, you'll judge the capital crime. Up until the point of actual judgment, the judges are allowed to eat. Meaning the prohibition of eating is only going to take place after the judgment has been rendered. So therefore, the members of the Beis Din can... you'll forgive me for saying it, but they can have their cake and they can eat it. They can deliberate over the course of the day. During deliberation, they can eat. Right, take a 5-minute recess. Right, have a little food. It is Chol HaMoed, and then render the decision. If a guilty verdict is rendered, fine. And then after that point in time, they can't eat. But that guilty decision will be rendered close to evening. So therefore, they will not be avoiding the obligation of Simchas Yontov. Okay. Amar Abai Tashma. Okay. No, in other words, the eating over the blood is out only after the decision has been rendered. But during the adjudication, they can eat. And that's what the Gemara is suggesting. That's what they'll do.
Correct.
Until the next day, of course, is next day. Amar Abai Tashma. Umnuda Sheitir Lo Chachamim. So again, now the question on the table, still the same question on the table. Can a menuda, someone who was excommunicated, is his excommunication lifted on Yontov? So the Gemara says, Abai says, well, why don't we look at our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that a menuda where hitiru lo chachamim. Now at this point, as Rashi explains, what the Gemara is thinking, what Abai is thinking, is that what the Mishnah here is describing is an automatic. Any person who's excommunicated, once he goes into Yontov, what's going to happen? Excommunication is lifted. Right? That's the way Abai is understanding our Mishnah. Amar Rava, Miketani Shetiru Chachamim, Hitiru Lo Chachamim. So Rava says, no, that's not what the Mishnah means. If the Mishnah would have meant what you thought, the Mishnah would have said, Hitiru Chachamim. But the Mishnah, read it carefully, it says, Hitiru Lo Chachamim. The rabbis lifted him from his ban. There's not an automatic repeal of an excommunication. It happens to be that in this, the Mishnah was describing a personal situation. What happened? So the Gemara speculates. The Gemara says, the person who was excommunicated went to the person who caused him to be excommunicated. When I say caused, I mean not actively, but he went into litigation with somebody else, and the person who the other litigant took him to court. He refused to go to court for whatever reason. He was in contempt of the court, and he went to the other litigant and he says, "Could we just drop everything, drop the charges, drop the case?" And the other litigant, and for whatever reason, they make peace with one another. They go to the court in Chol HaMoed and they say, "Look, right, drop the charges." And the court says, "Okay." And then the ban is going to be lifted. That's what the Mishnah is describing. Okay, so again, there's no conclusive evidence of what would be the status of a menuda, someone who was excommunicated during Yantar. Okay, we don't know. Bai and Rav debate. Okay, you could argue in one of two ways. Mitzora maushianik tsaraso beregel. I'll get to that. Do I have it? Some of them I have written down, some of them I don't. Okay. Mitzora maushianik tsaraso beregel. And finally, of course, the mitzora. Again, this is going to be the structure of the Gemara. We go avel, menuda, mitzora. So, what about a mitzora? Is his tsara status going to be lifted on Yantav and Chol HaMoed? Lifted? What does that mean, lifted? Meaning, he's not a mitzora anymore? That can't be. Meaning, his tsara just doesn't simply go away, disappear. He has to go through a process in order to go from the point of being a mitzora to a non-mitzora. The way Rashi explains it over here, what the Gemara here is suggesting is we know that a mitzvah has to go chutz machane. So maybe on Yontif, what the mitzvah is allowed to do is come back home, right, for the week of Yontif. Meaning it's, you know, obviously going to be very sad for him to be sitting outside by himself. Yontif is a mitzvah of simcha, so the suggestion would be not that his saras gets lifted, but gets to go back home. Rashi writes, the shalo yavo chutz el tocha machane. And says Rashi and get a haircut, right? Maybe the mitzvah would be allowed those leniencies during Yantav. I'm Rabbi Tashma v'Anazir v'Mitzvah mitumaslo taraso. Habi made tumaslo nahig. Again, Abai looks at our mission. Abai says, "What is our mission talking about? A nazir and a mitzvah who leaves his tumah to become tahor, which means then that." Obviously, our mission is assuming that a mitzora still remains tamei going into yantiv. So the Gemara says, "Let me buy kamar. Let me buy be made to masa dolo nahig avalataras and nigzah shemiyisha karbonoso kamash malan." And again, the Gemara deflects, and again, the Gemara says, "Maybe not. Maybe what the Braisa means, or I should say rather, the Mishnah is that if he goes into yantiv, he gets a." Temporary repeal from its saras. But what the Mishnah says is that I may be concerned with the idea that if he can wait till Yontif to bring his karbanos, I may be concerned that he'll push off his tahara so that it coordinates with Yontif, because I'm going to be in the base of Mikdash anyway, and I'll bring the karbanos anyway, and that was a concern. And what the Mishnah is coming to teach us is that by mitzvah we're not concerned about that particular concern. Amar Rava, Tashma. V'hatzaru l'rabbas kohen gadol. The kohen gadol can be a mitzora, right? It's possible. Okay, I understand that kohen gadol usually operates on a high spiritual level, and it'd be a little bit strange for the kohen gadol to be a mitzora, but it could happen. And now v'ha kohen gadol the chol hashana karegel kol amadame. Now the kohen gadol, his personal life, he conducts himself like every day is yantif. Every day for the kohen gadol is like a yantif. Gemara cites evidence to this idea. Kohen Gadol makriv onen vein ochel. A Kohen Gadol, when he's an onen, right, that means the day that he loses a relative, he can offer a karban. Now, an avel cannot offer a karban. An onen, a regular onen Kohen, cannot offer a karban, and meanwhile, Kohen Gadol can. Why? Because every day for him is like a yantiv, and we know that yantiv, the Gemara just said earlier, yantiv overrides avelus. So for the Kohen Gadol, every day is like a Yantiv, and it overrides the Velos. So now, let's make an argument. Well, if every day for the Kohen Gadol is like a Yantiv, so that means then, that if he becomes a Mitzora, hey, every day for him is like a personal Yantiv, and therefore should override the Tzaras. The fact that the Torah goes out of its way to say that a Kohen Gadol can become a Mitzora means Tzaras is no hag during Avelos. So, Shmamina, the Gemara says, okay, so we can conclude. So, let's just quickly summarize the halachas we just spoke about was how it does yontif affect avelus, nidu, and saras. So in terms of avelus, yontif is going to override avelus. To what degree? Machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. What about nidu, excommunication? Unclear whether or not yontif, I'm sorry, avelus will override excommunication. And finally, tzara'as, right, the Gemara is inconclusive on that. And tzara'as, yontif will not override tzara'as. Okay. That takes us through that halacha. Now we go on. We're on the bottom of Yudalam and base, two lines from the bottom of Avel Aser Batas Bares. And Avel cannot get a haircut. The Torah says to the Kohanim, to the Bnei Aaron, that your head, you're not allowed to let grow mechlal de kolei ama aser. So the that means that for everyone else it would be prohibited. Okay, so halacha number next halacha is that an avel cannot get a haircut. What about a menuda? What about a mitzora? Mahin b'tasparos. Tashma, the Gemara says we have proof for this as well. Menuda mitzoraim asurin l'saper l'chabes, that a excommunicated and a mitzora can are forbidden from getting a haircut and doing laundry. Menuda shemes bathed in soaked in sarono. Let's say someone who was excommunicated died in his excommunication, meaning never lifted from his excommunication. So what Beis Din does is that they stone his coffin. Not like we saw by Achan. Achan, right, who was in the time of Yoshua, who violated the ban that was set by Yoshua and took from the spoils of war, and as a result of his action, a number of soldiers died in the next battle. Ela Beis Din shochan menichan even gedola al arono. But rather what Beis Din does is they take a large stone and they put it on his coffin. And comes to teach you that anyone who is excommunicated dies in excommunication, so Beis Din places it on his aron. Not relevant to the basic point, which is, can a menuda get a haircut? The answer is no, he cannot get a haircut. Can a mitzora get a haircut? And the answer is also going to be no, and mitzora cannot get a haircut as well. Truth be told, is that the Gemara quoted of Raisa, we knew the answer already. Meaning the Mishnah says, these are the people that are allowed to get a haircut, right? And one of those people are someone who was lifted from his chayim. So already from the Mishnah, we knew the answer. But I guess this Raisa discusses not only the Menuda, but the Mitzora as well. Although the Mishnah does as well. But, okay. Basically, I'm not totally clear why the Gemara couldn't quote our Mishnah, but fine, so be it. Okay, so that was the halacha of getting a haircut, and for all three, the answer is no, no, and no. For our menuda and our mitzora, all three are prohibited from getting a haircut. Aval chay v'atifas arosh, and aval is obligated in atifas arosh. Not practiced nowadays. You're going to hear me say that a couple of times over the course of this parak, right? It's strange. It's odd where there is actual halachas which are said in the Gemara, right, and for reasons which I'll try to explain, just not practiced nowadays, this being one of them. Atifas Arosh, literally the covering of the head. The practice was that when a person's an Avel, he would take his cloak, his talis, now, right, for on occasion we put it on top of our head, right, for Shmon Esrei we put it on top of our head. For the Avel, what he would do is he would actually move it past the top of his head, move it over his face, and basically go down to his lip, which we'll see over the course of today. And an avel is obligated in this halacha of atifas arosh. How do I know that? So the Gemara says it's based on the psukim in Yecheskel. Now, we're going to go see these psukim a number of times over the course of this parak. These psukim over here, just a little bit of a backdrop, so Yecheskel's forecasting the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Yecheskel, Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu. So they forecast through their nevuah the destruction, and they're basically begging the Jewish people to change their ways, to reform, to go back and to be more Shomer Torah and Shomer Mitzvahs. And so Yecheskel, in his forecasting, so he does something which seems to be a little bit strange, and that is but he does this through his nevuah based on instruction by Kadosh Baruch Hu. He marries a woman, the woman dies, and Kadosh Baruch Hu says to him, you're not going to observe the regular laws of Avelos. Now, why should that be? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to communicate to the Jewish people that unlike regular Avelos where you're sad, you're going to be comforted, here in the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, you're going to be sad and you're not going to be comforted. And this is going to be demonstrated by Yechezkel not observing Avelos after the loss of his wife. And so he's going to demonstrate to the people that I'm an Avel, but I'm not going to observe Avelos because I'm not going to be comforted. Much like you, the Jewish people, are not going to be comforted over the loss of the first Beis HaMikdash.
Why does it separate to lose his wife? I mean, what does
I'm not sure. Unsure about that. And so, we from the perspective of learners of the third parak of Moikan, are going to quote Psukim from this particular incident, because here we're going to learn out all the things that Yechezkel didn't do, so that means that, generally speaking, an Avel is supposed to do. So, Lo Sa'ata Al Safam. So, Akash Baruch Hu says to Yechezkel, you're not going to put the cloak over your head and cover your head in Avelos. Okay, so that means then that the default position is that when a person is an Avel, he is supposed to put his cloak over his head. Now, what about someone who is put in excommunication? The Gemara quotes the Mishnah and Tanis. The Mishnah and Tanis says, yeah, when it doesn't rain and we daven and we pray and 13 fasts have come and gone and HaKadosh Baruch Hu hasn't responded, so what do? We're menuda. We're excommunicated. God put us at outcast. And what do? Atifa. The Mishnah in Tanis says is that we take the cloak and we put it over our head. Like we're menuda min ha-shamayim. Amalei Abai dama menuda la-shamayim shani de-chamir. So Abai says, I'm not sure if that's a great proof. Yes, that's excommunication. That's divine excommunication. That may be different. We're talking about being excommunicated by a court. That may be different. Mitzorah mahu ba'atifas harosh. What about a mitzorah? Does he obligate in the mitzvah of atifas harosh? Tashma, the Gemara says, yes. Al safam ya'ateh. Here, I don't need a brisa, I don't need a mishnah. I have what's called a pasuk in the Torah. Okay, that's a good source. Mechlal shechai ba'atifas harosh. In fact, it's a mechlal. Right? That language of the Gemara is strange. It implies that a mitzorah is obligated atifas harosh. What do you mean implies? The pasuk says, Shema Mina. Okay, so that is the halacha of Atifas Rosh. Where did the halacha go? Meaning, nowadays, we don't do Atifas Rosh, so I'll speak to the Ashkenazim, and the Sephardim, I don't know. Meaning, for the Ashkenazim, so the Rama writes that we don't do the practices of Atifas Rosh. And I don't have the Rama in front of me right now. I'm paraphrasing. I strongly encourage you to look it up so you get the language of the Rama, but basically it's strange. It's strange behavior, and it's just too strange for the world that we live in. And it will be a source of mockery and ridicule. And so the Rama says that we no longer do Atifas Rosh. And it's brought down some of the later Achronim bring down that what you should do is you take your hat and you put it down a little bit over your face, but okay. The practice of the Jewish people is not to do a tifas rosh nowadays. Avel also lahaniach tefillin. An avel is prohibited from wearing tefillin. We're going to see later in this parak. We already saw this back in Sukkah. That's only for day one of Avelos, not for all 7 days of Avelos, where a avel is prohibited from wearing tefillin. Once again, we turn to Yechezkel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yechezkel, during your Avelos, you're going to wear tefillin. So that means then that for the rest of us, we don't wear tefillin. Mechlad de kolei amas. Menuda ma b'tefillin. What if you're excommunicated? Do you put on tefillin? Yes or no? Teku, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Right? It's so interesting. Meaning, just because you're excommunicated from the court, so now for the duration of your excommunication, you're not going to fulfill the mitzvah essay of tefillin. It is strange. The Gemara doesn't even discuss. The Gemara just simply says, I don't know. Okay.
And the one that Rabbi Gamliel excommunicated.
Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer.
Did he put this tefillin?
I mean, the Gemara over here doesn't cite any evidence, one way or another. Mitzara mahu b'tfilin. What about a mitzara? Tashma v'asara l'rabbis kohen gadol b'gadol v'yufru mim yeshiyu mikurayim. V'roshu yiyu paru ein priya ela gidol se'er divrei abalaz. Rabbi Kiva amar nemar havaya b'rosh v'nemar havaya b'begim. Havaya amar b'begim davar shechutz migufo. Af havaya b'rosh davar shechutz migufo. So over here we're talking about, according to Rabbi Kiva, I know I'm reading this quickly, according to Rabbi Kiva, it says regarding the Kohen Gadol, now remember, the Kohen Gadol can become a Mitzara. We already went over this point earlier. And being that he can become a Mitzara, so Rabbi Kiva says that the Roshoyu Parua, his head should be exposed, we're talking about something which is external to his head. What is that a reference to? Rabbi Kiva is not clear. The Gemara speculates, my love, a tefillin, must be the tefillin. So I'm going to have Papa Lo, Akutma Vesudra. No, it means the Akutma Vesudra, various headdressings that were worn by the Kohen Gadol, that's what he is, that's what's missing from the Kohen Gadol, but tefillin he would wear. So again, let's just go over the three halachas, a tefillin. So for a Avel, first day, no, Usher. For the Menuda Teiku, the Gemara says, I don't know, and unresolved, not I don't know, but unresolved. And number three is a Mitzora, Gemara says, unclear, but seemingly a Konga, I'm sorry, the Mitzora does put on tefillin.
The Konga tells the story, he stops his services, right?
Presumably, meaning he's Tamei. He's Tamei, so yeah, yes. Avel also, not presumably, let's say yes, let's say clear. Avel also b'shelo shalom. An Avel cannot engage in pleasantries. Hello, how are you? Right, she'ela shalom. Dekam le'rechman le'yecheskel ha'negdom. Because the pasuk says regarding yecheskel ha'negdom, you must be silent. Now, Tosus points out, this is a little strange. All the psukim in yecheskel were psukim where you're not going to observe the normal observances of Avelis. So when Akash Baruch says to Yecheskel, you're putting on tefillin, that means no one else is. When the pasuk says to Yecheskel, right, you are you're not going to do Atifas Arosh, that means everyone else does. And here Tosus makes his point. And here Akash Baruch says to Yecheskel, Hanegdom, right, you be quiet. What do you mean that? Right, wasn't he instructed to go counter the observances of Avelis? So Tosus points out that it is strange and okay, see Tosus for a discussion of what happened over here. Menuda mao b'shel shalom. If you're excommunicated, so pleasantries. I'm Rav Yosef. Tashma b'shel shalom. Shemin adam lechavero kivnei adam anuzufim lamakom. Again, we go back to the Mishnah Tanis, and the answer is no. No pleasantries for the menuda. Very intuitive. Meaning, you're right. It's very intuitive. You're excommunicated. Yeah. Right. No pleasantries. And again, Abayi says, that Mishantanis, yes, the Jewish people are excommunicated, but from God, not from Beis Din, maybe different. Mitzora ma'u b'shel shalom, what about a mitzora? Tashma v'al safam yateh, shiusif sosav midubakot zubazushim b'menuda uke avel, v'asu b'shel shalom. So we have a brace, and the brace says that their lip, that you put over the lips, and your lips are closed, meaning the mitzora is not allowed to engage in any type of pleasantries. Shema mina. V'nishu minele menuda. Now, in this brisa, we said, you know, he's just like someone who's excommunicated. Amar Ravach, Rav Pinchas, Mishmed Rav Yosef. Mi ketani she'asur she'ekemu nuda ka'ava ketani. B'mila achronaisa v'asunami b'she'ela shalom. So it could be that, yes, there's a comparison between a mitzora and a menuda, but maybe not in regard to every halacha. A general comparison, but maybe she'ela shalom is where the mitzora goes one step above the menuda. Okay. Avel also b'divrei Torah. An avel is prohibited from learning Torah. Midekam rechman le'yecheskel dom. Because it says to Yecheskel, you must be silent. And it's so interesting. The Gemara is assuming that once you're given permission to talk, well, what else are you going to say? You're going to say Torah. So an avel cannot learn Torah for his duration of avelus. Menuda ma'u b'divrei Torah. Rav Yosef Tashma menuda shana v'shana lo niska v'niskaran lo muchram lo shana v'lo shana lo niska v'lo niskaran lo. The Gemara quotes a brisa by someone who is excommunicated. Shona v'shonin lo, you learn with him. Niska v'niskaran lo, you hire someone to learn with him. Meaning the answer is yeah. Menuda learns Torah. He can even hire someone to learn Torah. Muchram, someone is placed in chayrim. If menuda is excommunicated, what's chayrim? I'm not totally sure, but I know this. Chayrim is much worse than nidui, meaning chayrim has got to be like a higher level of excommunication, probably like a repeat offender.
There's a third one.
Yeah, very good. There will be another one. Right, it's coming up later in the parak. So mochram lo shana v'lo shana lo niska v'lo niskarim lo. So for him, right, you can't learn together with the mochram, meaning he is super excommunicated, and so therefore you cannot learn with him. Alvel shana hu la'atzmo shalo yafsik elimudo v'osa lo chanus ketana b'shvil parnasaso. However, not alvel, aval, but he can learn to himself and open his doors just a little bit, open his store a little bit, create a little bit of parnasa. So again, but the basic idea is a menuda can learn Torah, as can someone who's in chayim as well. Amrav zvuni ma'ida bepakta de arvus. So this shemamina. And I'm sorry, Amrav zvuni ma'ida bepakta de arvus. When say a business sale of water, meaning just a little bit of business just to support himself. So, but anyway, the menuda does learn Torah. Mitzora mahu bedivrei Torah. What about the mitzora? Can he learn Torah? Tashma va'odatam avnechel v'nevnechel yom asher amartal avnei Hashem alkecha b'chorev ma'alahanam be'em avyir v'eresas v'zeh mikan amrucha hazam v'amitzorim v'obol le'nidus mutar l'kos b'tor v'nevim v'v'ksuvim v'lishnos b'medrash v'shas b'hilchus v'agados u'ba'le kriyam asurim. I'm going to paraphrase. I just read a lot of Gemara. Basically, a person who's tameh is allowed to learn Torah. Right? The state that you have to be in learning Torah is fear, awe, shaking, perspiration, meaning that learning Torah please don't misunderstand, it's a joyful activity, but it's one that needs seriousness. So anyone who's tameh, that doesn't contradict that state of seriousness of learning Torah. The only thing that does contradict that is Baal Keri. A Baal Keri, a man who had a seminal discharge. So to get to that point of having a seminal discharge, he was in a state of levity, not in a state of learning Torah, and therefore he can't learn Torah. Okay, Gemara Brachos, I mean, right, you see on the side, Daf Chav Beis, Gemara Brachos, right, in order for the Baal Keri to learn Torah, he has to tovel the mikvah that was instituted by Ezra. We don't have that practice anymore. See the Gemara Brachos for that discussion. Shema Minah. But anyway, question was, can a mitzvah learn Torah? Answer is yes, he can. Aval aser b'tachboses, we're up to laundry. An aval cannot do the laundry. Why? Dichsiv, the pasuk says. So here, a departure from the Pesukim in Yechezkel, because quite frankly, doesn't discuss it over there. And we turn now to Pesukim in Shmuel Beis. Vayishlach Yov tkoa v'yikach misham ishach hachama. Yov takes a smart woman. And this is after the rift between David and Avshalom. Not after, I should say rather, during the rift of David and Avshalom. And so Yoav tried to create some sort of peace between father and son. So he takes a woman. So Yoav asks this woman to behave like an Avel while going to David and speaking to David HaMelech, and to try to get her to convince David to make some sort of accord between him and his son. She, right, I guess to give the sense to David HaMelech that, you know, that if this continues, right, this could be you. So the, and in the course of behave like an Avel, so Yoav says to her, you're not going to anoint yourself with oil, and you're not going to, and you're going to go with unlaundered clothing. Okay. So, answer, not answer, but source for an Avel can't do laundry. Menuda mitzara mahim b'tachboses. What about nuda mitzara? Tashma, the Gemara says menuda u'mitzara and asur l'saper u'lechabes. Okay, Gemara quotes a brisa. Menuda mitzara cannot do laundry as well. Avo chay b'kriya, the obligation of tearing of clothing. B'kamelu rachman levni aron lo zifrom ha'mechlal d'kuli ama mechayve. Okay, b'nei aron can't do kriya, the rest of us do. Menuda mal b'kriya teku. Excommunication. Does he have to do kriya? The Gemara leaves that unresolved. Mitzora ma'u b'kriya tashma begadov yu frumim shiyu mikuraim shma mina. Let's do one more. Avachai b'kfias hamita. The overturning of the bed. Okay, once again, second time today. Not practiced nowadays. This overturning of the bed. Didni bar kapara. We learned. Top of tezvav amid beis. Most niyuk demus diyukno nasati behemu v'amrasechem efachtiha. I gave you the image of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and because of the sins of us, right, the Selam Elohim has been overturned, and Kafu Mitoseihem Allah. So therefore, as a sign of this being overturned, we take our beds and we overturn our beds. Menuda Mitzora Mahim Bekfiyas Amita Teku. Does the Menuda, does the Mitzora, do they overturn the beds? The Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Okay, Kfiyas Amita we don't do nowadays. And once again, the second time today, where it's a practice that's not observed nowadays. The learning that we do this morning should be for continued refuah shlema for Yaakov Chavarus Bas Bela, who is right now undergoing surgery. Okay.